Hi everyone, and thanks for tuning in to UBS Global Research Pod Hub, a channel that shares insights from economists, strategists, and equity analysts on the pivotal questions and events shaping today's markets. My name is William Vanderpump, a product manager from the APAC research team based in Singapore. I'm here with Sunil Tirumalai, UBS Head of Emerging Markets and Asia Equity Strategy. In this episode of the podcast, we're going to be taking a high-level look at the takeaways from our recent Asian Investment Conference in Hong Kong that both Sunil and I were lucky enough to attend. Sunil.
Yes, William. Yes, the Asian Investment Conference is actually one of the largest events of its kind in this part of the world. The conference is actually in its 28th year of running, counting since the start from its Credit Suisse origins. I'm actually lucky to have been part of at least 11 AICs across both the firms. This year's theme was Unlocking Tomorrow, Harnessing Resilience, Embracing Opportunity. The conference saw over 3,800 participants over 4 days in the last week of May. We had senior representatives from over 350 companies across the APAC region. The conference also featured over 45 expert panels on pivotal topics, not just for Asia region, but for the global markets.
Absolutely, that's right. So I sat in a lot of panels over the 2 days, and they covered a very large spectrum of topics. It's hard to categorize too much, but the split was broadly across, I suppose, macroeconomic and strategy themes, particularly connected with all of the news flow we've seen this year around geopolitics and trade. There was a lot of focus on tech, and we dealt with themes like AI, robotics, and cybersecurity, all three of those clearly closely related. And then there was other important content on topics like aging populations and the impact this might have on the financial and healthcare industries. And we also had quite a significant section on the climate and the energy transition. I think it's hard to take away one broad single message from all of these panels, given the range that we had. Perhaps we should start bottom up rather than top down. I think, Sunil, you've had a good go at looking through some of the 350 plus company meetings and company reports that came out off the back of it. I would say some of the topics that I mentioned resonated across the company meetings during the conference as well.
Of course, William. Yes, absolutely. I think every one of the investors who met the corporates had many of these questions on their minds heading into the corporate discussions too. I would say more specifically, most of the manufacturing and supply chain related companies were asked about how they are managing the tariff uncertainty and any potential supply chain shifting strategies that they are looking at right now. The Asian markets have generally seen benign inflation trends recently, allowing the central banks to stay accommodative. But the impact of these low rates vary across banks in the region. So we did see a lot of discussion around that in the bank meetings. And then specific to Taiwan, most companies were asked about the impact to earnings from the sharp appreciation of the NTD in early May. Our Taiwan research team has written extensively on this topic. Now, William, we did sit through a lot of these panels ourselves. I'd say let's take the few minutes on this podcast to summarize our key learnings from these panels.
Yes, so I think a good place to start on that, Sunil, would be on some of the findings from the macro and geopolitics panels. I think they cover lots of the top of mind questions that investors have at the moment. I'll start with the first one I attended, and indeed the first panel of the conference, and that was the Global Economic Outlook panel with Raghu Rajan and Olivia Blanchard, two very, very well-known, well-established and fascinating economists. I think for me, the key takeaways from this were US exceptionalism remains for now, but everyone's watching H2 with interest and the data that will come through, and perhaps seeing the impact of some of the changes that have been made in the first half of the year. There was some debate on the panel over the timing of Fed cuts, and I think there was general agreement of a low but not zero chance of a hike, as the Fed these days is seen to be less anticipatory. And I think the panelists overall were positive on Europe, China and India, given potential benefits from intra-regional trade and strong domestic markets in places like India in particular. Sunil, how about you?
Yeah, so I sat through a few panels too. I think this very interesting one on geopolitics with Jeffrey Sachs, Director for Center for Sustainable Development, Columbia University, and Gillian Tett, Editor-at-Large with the Financial Times. The key takeaway for me was the idea that it's possible in 20 years, the center of gravity of geopolitical power may shift eastward from the current West-centric situation. The panelists believe that there could actually be Asian or European military partnerships without the US by that time. And then we also had this very interesting discussion on trade in this era of unpredictability, where the panelists included a former director general of the WTO and a well-known author on this topic. They had this rather unconventional idea that the WTO could survive without the US, since US accounts for less than 15% of global imports. On the contrary, it's actually the US that may lose the IP protection under the TRIPS for all its digital businesses if it chooses to leave the WTO. Now, William, we had nearly a dozen panels on various aspects of AI. Would you agree that some of our most surprising learnings came from these panels?
Yeah, so I certainly agree with that, Sunil. And I think one of the most interesting panels that I sat through was on the impact of AI and longevity. The speaker there was Peter Diamantis. So he's an investor, an AI expert, and very well connected in all things tech and AI. And he gave a fascinating talk. I thought it was pretty fun and speculative. On longevity in particular, what was surprising me was the amount of innovation in the space that's already happening. So he focused, for example, on what he calls epigenetic companies that are looking at how to reverse the impact of aging and how AI plays a part of this. He also looked at AI and the increasing number of companies operating in the space developing organs for transfer and organ regeneration, which is obviously something pretty fascinating and something I hadn't really thought of before. And a couple of fun facts from this panel as well. He mentioned that genes only account for somewhere between 7% and 30% of your longevity, your life expectancy. And also that optimists apparently live 15% longer than pessimists. So I thought that was interesting. And then I suppose on the darker side of AI, potentially, a panel on the second day I sat through was on cybersecurity. What I found particularly interesting here was that one of the speakers, a leading expert and writer on cybersecurity space and all of the threats that we find online, had himself actually been scammed. And I think the point he was making there by bringing that out was that the psychology of scams is as important as the technology itself. And the psychology that scammers use to trick us can be things like a moment of stress, which I think is what happened in his case, but other issues around vulnerability, loneliness, etc. I think the other scary part on this was how, coming back to the technology, scammers themselves might focus on the idea, and as I say, that psychology, that they're quite happy to outsource in a way the scamming technology to expert third parties, which is obviously something we should be concerned about.
Wow, yeah, that sure sounds very scary, and I guess warrants a lot of cautions from all of us. We also had this very relevant panel on AI agents with a couple of successful startup founders presenting. They argued that in all of 300 years of documented labor history of the world, new technologies have rarely led to a rise in unemployment. And unlike some of the AI movies that have warned us of dire situations of AI robots taking over the world, these panelists see very low likelihood of AI agents developing their own agenda. Now, moving on from AI, William, I think you attended some of these climate change panels. Did you find anything interesting from there?
Yes. So we had three panels on, I suppose, ESG and climate-related topics. And I think this was also a key area of focus in some of the company meetings as well. I think overall, the surprise here was actually the positive sentiment and high degree of interest around these themes, given, I think, as we all know, there's been some perhaps high-profile negative news flow around this space in the last 6 to 12 months. And I think, given we're in APAC, this fits in with our ESG teams. A view of some degree of APAC exceptionalism on sustainability and ESG topics, and particularly the climate transition. To focus on two of the panels, the panel on 3 degrees and what the impact of a 3 degree warmer world would mean was fascinating. The two speakers there, we had a leading climate scientist who provided the background and a climate investor who talked about some of the impacts and specific examples. A fascinating number for me was that the consensus is for every 1 degree of warming, we should expect about a 14% reduction in global GDP, so that the scale is still huge, especially with the Earth on track for a 1.5 degree increase next year. And that's obviously going to cause significant impacts across sectors like agriculture, water and energy. And then the second panel to focus on was what we call the Fuels of the Future panel. So we had a provider of a sustainable aviation fuel and a shipping company and an airline talking about implementation of some of the decarbonization strategies in the transport industry. I thought it was a really good discussion. There were some interesting and tangible developments in shipping in particular, which we focused on, but it still all comes down to cost. And I use an example actually from the airline sector. The speakers were highlighting that conventional jet fuel is about $700 per ton, and that's about 35 to 40% of airline operating costs. And that's a challenge given sustainable aviation fuel, the HEFA brand of sustainable aviation fuel is still priced at about $2,000 per ton. So clearly still a bit of a gap.
Yeah, that's very interesting, William. I think we would have loved to cover a lot more of the content from the conference, but we are constrained in trying to keep this podcast sweet and short for the listeners. We thank you for visiting the UBS Research Pod Hub. That was an overview of the takeaways from recent Asian Investment Conference in Hong Kong. I'm Sunil Tirumalai, head of EM and Asia Equity Strategy, along with William Vanderpump from the APAC Product Management Team in Singapore. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please tune in again and do share this episode with a friend or colleague.
This content has been prepared by UBS AG, its subsidiaries and or affiliates, and is purely informational in nature. It is not investment research and does not contain an investment recommendation nor investment or professional advice. It is not an offer or solicitation to engage in any investment activity, and you should seek your own financial, tax, and legal advice before engaging in any such activity. UBS has no responsibility to you in relation to this content. It has no regard to your personal circumstances or investment objectives, and receiving it does not imply any form of client relationship with UBS for any legal, regulatory, or tax purpose. This content is not intended for distribution into any jurisdiction where to do so would be contrary to law or regulation. UBS does not accept any liability over the content of such material or reliance upon any information contained herein. The views and opinions expressed by any guest speaker or third party are not those of UBS. Accordingly, UBS does not accept any liability over any such views and opinions expressed by such persons. This content is the valuable intellectual property of UBS, and UBS specifically prohibits the redistribution of it in whole or in part without its prior written permission. UBS 2025, the key symbol, and UBS are among the registered and unregistered trademarks of UBS. All rights reserved.